Good morning. How are you today? Amen. I was looking at the weather today, and it looks like it's going to get warmer from here on out. So can we be excited about that? Yeah. Super excited. All right. Well, it's a blessing to have you here with us today. I want to bring us a couple things. One announcement is tonight is our business meeting, and that starts at 6 o'clock. So those of you that are partners, please come. Be faithful to attend. We'll be electing a few board members, going through the finances, and it'll be a time of celebration as well, and we will get you home in time to watch the conclusion of Downton Abbey, okay? Just in case that's a worry for you, we want to make sure that we're thinking for you as well. We are in Vision Weekend, and I want to speak also to those of you watching on the internet right now. Would everyone welcome those on the internet that are tuned in all over the world, all over the country? Yeah, and today I really want to bring you that are watching on the internet into what we're doing today. You are our online campus, and pretty much on a weekly basis, there's about 110 households tuned in all over the country and all over the world, which is pretty awesome. You can think there's 2 to 4 people possibly in the household. So God's doing some great things in our online campus. And today we want to make sure that you're watching as a participant of what's taking place. Because this is all of us. Vision Weekend also includes what you online are a part of, as well as what we're a part of here in the physical buildings. But when we're talking about Vision Weekend, I want us to make sure that you see that God has a vision for each and every one of our lives, that the church is the people. It is not an organization, just some nameless, faceless organization. This group of people is a family, and we have names and we have faces. And so when God speaks of vision, He's talking about each of our lives going forward, not just the church as a structure or organization. And so I am asking today, and if you're watching online and you're here physically, that you would be asking God to open your eyes to how you are a part of the vision and how you are moving forward as well. Amen? It doesn't matter what age you are right now. It doesn't matter if you think you're too young, or you think you're too old, or you think maybe you don't have the education you wish you would have, maybe like somebody else. Maybe you think you're too educated and you can't get involved or something like that. God has a vision for each and every person that's hearing what's going on today. There is an anointing. We have been praying for this weekend, and I believe there is an anointing for vision this weekend. And so some of you, your life has been stagnant. It has been stuck. Please see that what we're talking about today is not removed from you. It is you. Vision Weekend is you. Amen. It is not a building. It is you. And so it's what you have been a part of and what you will be a part of. And there's more vision in your personal life that God will reveal to you, I believe, while you're sitting in these services. And so I encourage you, be believing by faith. Say, God, speak to me, yes, about the corporate body, but about my life. It's important you always have vision, because without vision, we begin to die. We begin to perish. And so it's important that you are always asking God to give you another mountain to climb, another city to conquer. And God brings the best out of us when we're in those focused moments of conquering and climbing. Amen? All right. Ushers, if you'll come forward, we're going to receive today's tithe and offering. Why don't you go ahead and stand? We're going to celebrate those offerings to the Lord. It's important that we rejoice and give God our faithful, normal tithes and offerings. So can you give God praise? It's time to give today. Amen. It's a time of celebration. This is our normal tithe and offering moment where God uses these offerings to transform our lives, but then He takes those offerings and continues to move things forward. And so let's begin to pray over those. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we commit these offerings to You, these tithes. God, we thank You that these tithes and these types of offerings, they're the foundation gift of what You do to create everything that we get to be a part of here. And we're so grateful for the privilege of giving. We ask, God, that You would take these offerings and You would use them to transform our community. You would use them to transform our church and our world. Continue to provide that there be food in the house to feed and to minister to all those that You would bring us to. And God, we pray that these offerings as well change and transform our own life. You always do something in us as You're bringing these offerings through us. And so, God, our hearts are open. We give You these offerings in praise. We give You these offerings as an act of celebration. And Lord, as we are here today speaking of vision, I ask and we ask corporately, speak to us personally about vision for our lives and how we fit in the corporate vision. We give You thanks and we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sow your seed and have a seat.
Amen. Amen. You can celebrate that. Amen. How powerful that is, Life Church. What we get to be a part of and to do with the Lord. Amen. What an awesome, awesome thing. I love this. I get emotional whenever I see that, because that's what Vision Weekend is all about. Amen. It is all about people, and it is all about people's lives changing and being reached and touched for Jesus. Amen. How many of you, your life was touched because somebody chose to close the gap for you? Amen. Praise God. They brought the gospel message to you some way, somehow, and you are living proof. You are a testimony of it. You are seated right here. Thank God somebody had vision to close the gap for your life. It is all about it's all about people just like you and me. It's all about people. And so when we come together and talk about Vision Weekend and where we're headed, that's what vision is. It's putting the target on the wall so that we know the direction that we're headed together corporately as a church. And you know, your own personal vision, like Pastor Kevin was talking about, is directly linked to where we're going as a church. But to paint that target on the wall so that we know where we're headed together, but that target on the wall is because it's all about people. Amen. May we never lose sight of the fact that vision is directly linked to God's most precious treasures, and those are people. Amen. Amen. Can you celebrate that this morning? As we go forward, we're so excited to talk about all the direction that God's taking us and all that he's going to do. But everything that you hear this morning is directly linked with his people. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm excited because I get to come and to kind of help celebrate some of the things that God has done. And you know, as I was praying about this this weekend, I was reminded that it's just important that we take a minute and celebrate the victories that God has brought us through. Amen. It's important in our lives. And it's very biblical, too. Whenever you read through scripture, you read about the Israelites, God's people, and whenever he brought them through something, he brought them through a conquering lands or victory or getting out of crazy situations where they were under attack. He always had more for them to do, but before they went on and did the more, they always had to stop and build an altar or a memorial to stop and remember and thank God for where he had brought them. Amen? And I think there's a lot of reasons why God does that, but I think primarily it's more than anything for us to have that moment to acknowledge that God just did what he said he was going to do, because we need to remember that God's faithful and kind of have that marker, not kind of, but have that marker in the sand, because when we go forward and things look far bigger than we can do in our own strength, we can remember we didn't do it in the last time. He's the one that did it the last time, and you need to stop and settle in and say, thank God for what you brought us through, so that the next time I see something that's far bigger than I can do on my own, I can trust that you've been faithful before and you're going to be faithful to continue to do this. Amen? And so we're going to celebrate. Those of you remember, just even 6 months ago, we had a vision weekend together, and we brought some vision forward to the church and say, hey, listen, this is what the Lord's put on our heart to accomplish over the next 6 months, and we're going to do this together. And so we're going to have one of those moments real quick here. We're just going to name off some of the things that God put on our heart, said, listen, this is what I want you to do, and we're going to celebrate together that it happened. Amen? And that we can thank God for the testimonies for the people's lives that were touched and reached because of that vision. And we're going to continue to move forward. So are you ready to celebrate a few of the things that the Lord's done over just listen, we could talk all day long about the testimonies and the goodness of God, but really all I can do right now is talk about the few things, not few, lots of things over the past 6 months, okay, that God has done, and just the stuff that we said that we were going to launch out and do together as a church. So that's all I'm bringing. There's far more than this that God has done, but just over the past 6 months. The first thing is we had a little album that came out of the house, Stronger Still. worship album. It was a phenomenal, huge blessing. Those songs on that CD, just anointed by God. How many of you are blessed by that? It happened. It's a great tool. And by the way, it's now available on iTunes, so you can get it there, download it, tell your friends and family about it. It's a powerful, powerful ministry opportunity. The second thing that happened just in the past 6 months, because life goes so fast, you probably forgot that this was less than 6 months ago. But ladies, we had a powerful women's conference just in November. It was, our heart's desire was to pack this place out, to invite women to come, to be touched, to be ministered to, and it happened. Dr. Caroline Leaf was here. We had Sarah Zaski here. We had Pastor Elise ministered. We had a powerful time, phenomenal worship. It was an anointed time in the presence of God, and I am still hearing testimonies come out of that weekend of lives changed and moved forward. And you know what? You pulled that off. It was such an amazing weekend. So much fruit out of that. So thank you, Life Church. You will never know all of the lives that were touched just out of that one weekend. That was a powerful weekend. The next thing, we had a little thing called the Harvest Festival that happened in October. It was our largest one yet, with over 5,500 people on this property. People, individuals that had an opportunity to come, to be here, to experience the love of God through you. You were able to spread that love when they came here. And so many people were hearing more and more testimonies of people who've come to the Harvest Fest year after year, had never gone to church, and they're starting to come to church. Because when they got to a place where they and their family said, hey, you know, we need to go to church because of the Harvest Fest, they thought, well, let's go there. And they're coming, they're giving their lives to the Lord, and God is just using it. So well done, Life Church. That was a huge blessing. You've done amazing things. Life School of the Bible. Now we have 2 years going in our Life School of the Bible, which is our adult mentorship class. That's going well. We launched an online version of it that's going well. So now you don't have to be here every Thursday night. You can do it from the convenience of your home, anywhere all over the country. I'm looking right in the cameras, all over the country. That's you too. So you can be a part of this, where you can grow in your walk with the Lord and be mentored and discipled. It's powerful. Our Rockford campus is blowing up right now, ladies and gentlemen. It is on fire. Pastor Norma is down there leading that, and they are growing and they are alive. Their kids ministry is taking off. It is doing amazing. If you've not yet visited that campus, you need to go visit. I can't even put into words what all is happening down there. God is doing amazing things, and they have amazing things coming. So that's something to celebrate. Also, and in just a second, I'm going to bring Pastor Evelyn up here, but also another thing that I'd love to just celebrate is that we talked about moving our kids' ministry from the building over there into our gymnasium to give them a first-rate kids' ministry area and facility, and we did it. Amen. It is amazing. And it is first rate. The kids love it over there, and the kids ministry is continuing to grow and explode every week. It's so fun to watch the posts on Facebook from Pastor Heather and her team about needing to bring out more chairs and more chairs and more chairs, and seeing these kids' lives impacted for Jesus. And so well done, Life Church. You have done that as well. That's something to celebrate. And I'm going to invite Pastor Evelyn to come on up to the stage. She's got a couple of testimonies, but some of you will remember that a few months ago on Vision Weekend, we talked about what the Lord had put on our heart for healing ministry, and to help it become the evangelism outreach tool that really it is on the heart of God, right? Because it's all about people. And so we kind of revamped our healing ministry and took it out of a classroom setting, which Pastor Evelyn is still teaching her class on Saturday mornings. It's phenomenal. We'll never go away from that. But we wanted to make it available to everybody to come for it, to be ministered to be prayed for healing. And so in October, we launched healing ministry. Now listen, it only meets every other Friday evening. So this is not an every week deal. But in that time, just since October, okay, just since October, we have had outside of our Life Church family. Okay, so on top of you coming for ministry, which it is open to you for sure, On top of just our Life Church family, we have had over 150 people come to be ministered to, yes, and to be prayed for. Lots of salvation. So I'm going to let Pastor Evelyn, she's got a few testimonies that we want to share this morning just to encourage you and to celebrate.
Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we had a man come Friday night who had slipped on the ice and hit his head, couldn't raise his neck. He couldn't lift his head up, couldn't raise his arm. And after prayer, he raised his arm, was shaking his head all over. He went away healed. Hallelujah. We had a young man come with Asperger's disease, which is a form of autism. And he's been totally healed, no more symptoms. A lady was healed of Lyme's disease. And she had a lump on her back. And when they laid their hands on her back, that lump just disappeared. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One lady had struggled with fear her whole life, hadn't been able to come out of her house. And she's been healed. Hallelujah. She's been healed of depression and that disease. And she's been so healed that the lady who prayed for her didn't recognize her. She looks like a different person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had a lady come who had stage 3 emphysema, and she came with her oxygen, carrying her oxygen. Every time we met, she came. Now she's coming without the oxygen. She's been totally healed. She had broken her ankle in 3 places, or in several places twice, and now she's so healed, she come kicking her legs up, showing me how healed she was. Hallelujah. We've had a lot of salvations. In fact, we had one Friday night. There's been at least 20 filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a young girl came who didn't want them old tongues. That's what she said. She don't want them old tongues, but she got those old tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've had people come from like at least 3.5 hours away and come, and because they can't find any place to come. They've looked on the internet and couldn't find any place to come closer. We're so thankful for that. We've had deaf people come, cancer patients, lung problems, blood pressure problems, diabetes, stroke victims, leukemia, all sorts of problems, and God has been on the scene to heal them all. Hallelujah. One lady came with cancer all through her body, and she came. She brought 19 people with her to see her get healed. Well, she's come back and give a testimony of they can't find any cancer in her body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. And you know what? God doesn't waste anything. I tell you, those 19 people came, left. They came and they left saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, most of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lady came from Chicago to be prayed for that night when there was travel warnings out. But she was so desperate for healing, she came. A young man came who had a tear in his knee, and it clicked when he walked. And he had pain, and as he walked away, he had no pain and no clicking. Hallelujah. Just a couple more. We've had legs grow out, backs heal, mental problems taken care of, financial needs met, and God has been glorified in all of that. Hallelujah. There was a lady came from the college, one of the colleges, who had to have knee surgery, and they had her scheduled for surgery. She came and got prayed for. She went back to the doctor, and they said she didn't need knee surgery. So somebody else came the other night because of her testimony. Hallelujah. Bless God. I'm so thankful for my team. You know what? They're so excited. They lay hands on each other and get healed. Hallelujah.
That is something to celebrate. Amen. Life Church. What an awesome, awesome, awesome story that we get to be a part of. Again, just linking back vision. That is vision that translates into people's lives and advancing the kingdom of God and giving all of the glory to God. Amen? Amen. That's something to celebrate. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Norma of the Rockford Campus, and we are so excited here in regards to closing the gap. And one of the ways that we're going to be closing the gap is to begin to house the Life Church Leadership College. And more ways than one, we're not just going to just have a place for them to stay, but we're also going to create that atmosphere of family and also support with all the ministries that are here at the Rockford campus. We could be a blessing to them. And at the same time, they're being a blessing to us. We're both fulfilling purpose. We are so excited to partner with you here at the Rockford campus.
Hey Life Church, it's Pastor Elise. I'm the director of Life Church Leadership College. As you know, the last year and a half, we launched something incredible for recent high school graduates who feel called to full-time ministry. We're giving them the opportunity to do academics and hands-on ministry experience in one place here at Life Church. You've seen these students interact on the weekend services. They're serving on cameras or maybe on stage in the worship team. They're serving in the kids ministry here at Life Church and in the youth ministry. Our students are doing amazing things here at Life Church. As you know, the last year we've had amazing families in the church open up their homes to our current students, but that's just a temporary solution and it's not sustainable for the future. So here we are with 15 students coming in the fall and we have nowhere to house them. So Life Church, we need your help. This is the next start and the next phase of what Life Church Leadership College is going to be doing. Here I am standing at the basement of the Rockford campus. Just check out this blank canvas behind me. Life Church, we get the ability to make this vision a reality, but we need your help. This isn't just about our fall students coming this semester and just our guys. This is about the future and the next generation of church leaders and church ministers. Just imagine the amazing community that we get to invest in these students by being housed at a Life Church campus. That is a huge deal. And we get the opportunity to make that dream a reality. So it's our challenge to you to be able to step out in faith, trust that God is doing amazing things here. Life Church, let's do this thing.
Give it up for your Life Church Leadership College students. Woo! You can tell they're having a lot of fun this morning, right? Give it up for them one more time. They're amazing. Yes. So you guys heard a little bit on the video, but we really are just taking in recent high school graduates who feel called to go into full-time ministry. And we're giving them all of their training resources in one place. We've actually partnered with the university down in Dallas, Texas. We partner with them and they get a 4-year Bachelor of Arts degree in church leadership. And then on top of that, they're also getting the hands-on ministry experience here at our church and in the District of Illinois. So what you are seeing before your very own eyes started with 4 students. And we are not even at 2 years of existence yet. You are seeing 15 of them standing up here. We have 15 students currently. And get this, you heard this in the video. We have 15 more students that are currently in the application process to come with us this fall. You can praise God for that. So what you're seeing here before you is amazing growth. Clearly, God is blessing all of the hard work that we've invested, and it is exciting to see all that God is doing, but we believe that the best is still ahead of us. Really quick, I want to give you the opportunity to be able to hear from one of our students. He's actually going to share just a quick testimony about what he has been able to experience here since he's been at Life Church and all that God is doing in his life moving forward.
Man, I am so excited to be a part of what God is doing here. Just at this church in general, just being a part of what God is doing here at Life Church is amazing. To be a part of this awesome family. You guys have such a special church, and you should really realize this is an amazing place. I'm called to a full-time youth ministry. Actually, I was called when I was about 11 years old, and I had no idea how I was going to get there. Or really what that meant at the time. And I kind of ran from God's call for a while. And about 2 years ago, God really just grabbed hold of me and got me back to where I needed to be. And I was like, okay, I knew I needed to go back to school to go into full-time ministry. And I got connected with Life Church last November 2014 through Elise and Blair. Elise is my sister. And I remember visiting down here, and I didn't really know what to do. I was like, God, do I really need to go here, or is this just like something through my sister? And I was sitting in Pastor Kevin's office, and he's mentoring me, and I was just saying, you know, I'm not getting any straight answer about what I should do. And Pastor Kevin's like, sometimes God just asks you to take a step of faith. And so I decided I was going to come, and then that January I showed up. And I needed a home opener. I had no place to go. And Graciela and Doug Hale opened their home to me. And I remember getting there that night, and just this peace of God came over me that said, you are exactly where you need to be. And it just blew my mind. And since then, God has been absolutely just doing an amazing work in my own life, and is because of the awesome staff and the amazing programs here at Life Church. And without really this program, I would have no idea where I'd be. So I'm just so excited to be a part of this family. It's awesome.
Give it up for Eric. One thing he didn't share with you is that he came here from 8 hours south. He's from Springfield, Missouri. And so he's actually currently one of our non-local students. Out of those 15 applicants that are coming in, those are not just local students. We have students that are applying from the St. Louis area, Central Illinois. We have them applying in from Chicago and even in Minnesota. It is absolutely insane the reach that we have up until this point. But again, Life Church, this is just the beginning. We're not even at 2 years of existence for this, and look at all that God is blessing. This is just the beginning. The best is ahead. Life Church, thank you for your investment as their family, because again, that's what you're hearing, that these students feel, how many of you guys feel like you're a part of the Life Church family, right? Thank you, Life Church, for your investment into the next generation of church leaders. Give it up for them one more time.
All right. Isn't that awesome? That's something to celebrate. Let me hear you shout. Yeah. Woo. Man, there's some great young people right there. The future of our church is right there. And so we're excited about that. Listen, I'm going to come and we're transitioning from what God is doing kind of in the past, and we're seeing all his hand upon all this stuff that he is just guiding and directing. So I wanted to share with you a little bit maybe about what you've seen right now. And, if you walk into Life Church, you may have noticed some different publications, some different ministries, and all that's taking place. And I want to share a little bit about what God is doing with that. Many of you know that our core group, our core values is this, is God's Word, His Spirit, and relationships. And so we're doing the best that we can to guide in the area of relationships and help people connect better with Life Church. Because Life Church has a lot to offer, but not only that, you have a lot to offer Life Church. You see what I'm saying? There's a connection there. So what we're trying to do is for you is to create some clear pathways of involvement right here to take your ministry, the things God has gifted you with. And one of those things that we've created, many of you have seen this, is Discover Life Church. And we just began that in January. And what Discover Life Church is for people who have maybe been attending Life Church for 2 or 3 weeks. They're brand new to Life Church, or maybe they've even attended for many months, but they want to get involved. They want to take a next step to see what God would do in their life right at Life Church. And so our first class is called Our Life. And we do this. We share our core values of what it means about the Word, Spirit, and relationships. Pastor Kevin and Marie will come into the class, and they'll share the history of that. We started with 18 people about 12 years ago, and it's grown to this. That's awesome. Yeah. And so then what happens, you go to the second class. Our first class was in January. And let me just say this. We had 30 people show up to our first class. That is awesome. Give God thanks for that. Our second class is Your Life, and that was just held last week. And we had 19 people show up to that class just last week. So 40-something people going to Discover Life Church 1 and Discover Life Church 2. Isn't that awesome? And what it's doing is this. It's helping people take a next step, knowing exactly where God is going to place them in the heart and the ministry, and helping people understand that they have so much to offer. You have so much to offer, Life Church. And we want to recognize that. What is it for us? It's a clear pathway into seeing what God can do. Another great thing that he's created and is this, is Life Connections. Anybody seen a Life Connections yet? What it is this. It provides over 50 different small groups from children all the way to adults. Basically, it's our whole church in this little magazine. And that is so awesome. So have you ever had this happen? Someone comes up to you and says, hey, do you know where this class is or where these people are meeting? Now you don't have to say, no, I don't know. Now you can say, yeah, let me go get a Life Connections. And you can pick up a Life Connections and show them exactly where the class is, what's going on in the class, and it helps you understand. So that's what we're trying to do, is help you also connect with people that come through as guests that want to connect to Life Church. It helps you just kind of put a face to all of our ministries. That's what this does. And you'll find people's face, and there's a lot of pretty faces in here. I just want to tell you that, all right? If you want to look through, just check them out. So if you also open this, Life Connections, you'll see a couple ministries. I want to highlight just a couple. Number one is this, Real Men's Ministry. We just launched in January. Ooh, 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 yeah. Let me hear you guys. That's right. We're excited about that. When we launched it in January, get this, 83 guys showed up. Yes. And, man, we are so excited. We just have a great group of guys. The first night that we met, you know, everybody kind of met and We had a great time, small group time. We're going through this series called the 33 series. And immediately after class, kind of everybody dispersed. But the second week, man, we stayed till like 9:30. We're having sleepovers. I'm joking. We're not really. But, you know, we're having a great time, aren't we, guys? Yes. If you want to come and be a part, we are having, right now we're in the middle of this like 33 series, A Man and His Design. And we're learning some things, some great things. And one of the things that we're learning is the four faces of manhood. The warrior face. The king face. I don't know what a king face is, so we'll skip that one. The friend face. And the lover face. Those are my duck lips. If you don't know, those are duck lips, okay? I don't know. Anyway, so that's what we're learning. Not the faces. We're going into the Word of God and learning the king face, the warrior face, friend face. And so we're excited about that. You need to come and be a part, 7 o'clock Tuesday night in the gym, and we're having it this Tuesday. Come and be a part. We have two more classes left, and then we're going to start a brand new class. And you know, another piece of this that I want to share is this, that we're launching a real men's group in the Rockford campus, and we're excited about that. I've already began meeting with a guy, and so that's going to be awesome to see what God does in our real men's ministry. The last thing I want to share with you is this, the power of television. You know, there are so many people throughout this area that will sit at home because maybe they are incapacitated, they can't get up, they're disabled, they're at a nursing home, but they can't get to a church. And isn't it awesome that Life Church provides a time slot and preaching of God's Word for people who can't make it here? And so that is one aspect of people who can't make it, but there's another aspect to that. It's people who watch. They can make it to church, and somehow it plants a seed in their life. And once that seed begins to grow, they begin to think, man, I think I want to be a part of that church. Just last week in Discover Life Church, I met a lady sitting across from me, and she said this. She says, you know what? I've been watching Life Church for the past 3 to 5 years. She said something like that. She says, you know what? God spoke to me and said, I need to visit the church. So she came. She saw Discover Life Church. That's a clear pathway to get involved for people visiting. And she is now in the process of getting involved. Give God glory for that. Isn't that awesome? I think it's great. I want to read real quick just a couple testimonies about people who have watched us on TV. This is Sandra from Janesville. She says, I've been born again since 1976, but received another comforter in 2001. I know the feeling you receive that does not come from anything that is physical. This is why I know there's a God beyond a shadow of a doubt. Your sermons keep getting better on TV. Keep up the good work. That is Sandra from Janesville. Nate writes this. He's from Roscoe. I have been a member for 5 years, and he goes back and he says this, I turned on the TV years ago and asked for something with a God aspect instead of reality TV. Then Pastor Kevin and Maria came on tonight at 1 a.m. Thank you. What can I do to build my spiritual man? The question was asked. Thank you. Inspirational and was nice to see a great message to keep us engaged, seeing the works of our mighty Lord. God bless, Nate. Isn't that awesome? That's people that is just, they've heard about it. As I leave, I want you to watch one more video about a lady who watched us on TV and then got connected right here at Life Church.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I found Life Church on TV one day when I was getting ready to come to church, and I was kind of expecting at the end of the program for them to say, if you're ever in California or something, you know, come and join us. And they said, you know, we have a Roscoe campus, and so I came here that Sunday, and I've been coming ever since. The messages were awesome. It was great to, Pastor Kevin made the Bible come alive and made me understand it more. The people were great. I never felt so welcomed in a church as I did when I came here. It was great. So now I serve in the tech team, and I've been my second year of Life School of the Bible. I think that it's nice to work in the area that actually drew me into the church. And I just feel like I've really grown since I've started coming to Life Church. It's really made a big change in my life, and I'm really grateful that the Lord guided me here.
Amen. What I hope you see in those testimonies and in everything that we've been sharing, and that's, it's working, everybody. What you're doing, what you're praying for, what you're sowing into, what you're volunteering and being a part of, it is working. Can you give God praise for that? It is working. Because it's all about the people, and people's lives are being changed. I love that in particular testimony because of her response in the beginning. She said, I thought at the end of the program they were going to say, oh, this is one of those churches from California or New York, because she thought the quality was so good, it had to be one of those mega churches. And you know what that speaks of? To me, that speaks of the quality of investment that you've made, but also the volunteers that put that program together. You know, the video team, the camera people, the switcher room, the broadcast room, the media tech guys on the soundboards and the lights, they put together, as volunteers, they put together such quality things that we can go toe-to-toe with the big people all over the country. Can you give them a hand for their sacrifice and faithfulness? Amen. Because we didn't just do it, we went excellent, and it's because of them, and it's because of you and how you give. And I, real quickly, as we're thinking, I want to acknowledge the fact that behind the scenes, you know, building those men's ministries and building and figuring out ways to create those clear pathways like Discover Life Church and the Life Connections magazine, which, by the way, if you go on our website now, you can sign up for our newsletter. And in that newsletter is a link, and I believe there's a digital version of those Life Connection magazines now as well. So many things that are going on. But I want to thank Pastor Craig and Rachel for all that behind-the-scenes stuff that has been building the infrastructure to move us forward. And moving forward, they have done a tremendous job in creating those pathways and making us more excellent. Would you give them a thank you? Yeah, that's appropriate. Absolutely. And man, those faces, Pastor Craig, I'll never get that out of my head. Bev, we're going to need a deliverance session. Could you set me up for after service? I appreciate that. As we continue to move forward and the things that we're celebrating that God has done and that God is doing, and then in just a moment, I'm going to give you the vision for the next phase. We also want to make sure we're celebrating the idea of missions. We are a missions-minded church. Those of you that are watching on the internet, we are missions-minded. What is missions? Missions are our reach all over the world so that we are not ever going to be a church on the corner that just thinks about its own business. We are part of a greater, larger cause of the move of God in our generation. Can I get an amen? Amen. We believe that we are strategically partnering with quality ministries, and they are going where our feet will never tread, but they are making a difference. They're closing the gap. And even now, we're actually not only sowing seed, we're actually now sending missionaries from our own house. And I'd like you to see a testimony and hear a message from some of those missionaries right now.
Hi, I'm Libby, and this is Pete, and we are missionaries to Zambia.
So we work with overland missions, and the vision is to get out to the most remote and forgotten places we can find with the message of the gospel. And we do that with evangelism, we follow that up with long-term discipleship, training up indigenous leaders, because the goal is to transfer the ministry onto them so we can move on to the next unreached people group. And during that relationship building process, we can help with physical aid, drilling wells for water, working with agriculture, medical clinics, education systems, and so on like that.
So in Romans 10, it talks about missionaries, and it says, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a verse that we hear a lot. But after that it says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe if they have never heard about him? And how will they hear about him unless someone tells them? But how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? So we believe that that is the church's role, that we as missionaries and other missionaries around the world, that we have this call to go to the nations, but we can't go unless you, the church, sends us. And so just know that it makes a huge impact. It's not a small thing to give to missions. It's not a small thing to give your money. That is a mandate of the Lord to send missionaries. And so that's what we love to do.
And what I do is engineering. Like, I'm a trained and skilled and experienced engineer, so it's my job to get out there and fix the vehicles that get people out to these remote areas. I'm fixing boat motors to explore new rivers and find new villages. We're fixing bicycles and dirt bikes. Basically, I love being able to use what my engineering skills, my fabrication skills, vehicle mechanics skills. It's things that I love to do, things I'm trained in, and I can, every day I can see an impact in the daily lives of people. I can see the impact of the, on the kingdom of God, getting the gospel out there with what I do and I love to do.
So just know that the money that you're giving towards missions and the prayers that you are sending, that they are so important, and that that is the way that you are going, is you're going through us, or you're going through other missionaries. And so just know that it makes a huge difference.
Amen. All right, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to take about 30 minutes. I'm going to present to you a message, and then we're going to close the gap with our pledges. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right. We're going to open up our Bibles in just a minute, but I want to make sure we're all clear. In August of this last year, we started using a phrase, close the gap. And I believe it's something that needs to really get inside of us that becomes something we say for a long time, because there's such a passion and a vision behind the very statement. But I want to make sure we're all on the same page. God is a gap closer, but I want to define what the gap is. You might ask, what is the gap? No, it is not a clothing store. So to make sure that you understand that God is not shutting down Gap stores all over the country, because their clothes are cool and I look good in those jeans, okay? I'm just letting you know, but that's between me and Maria. Don't go there, okay? Just move on. What is the gap? The gap is the distance between where people are and where God has paid for them to be. I want to make sure you clearly understand what the gap is, because I don't just want some cool little phrase. I want us to understand. The gap is where people are, the distance between where people are and where God has paid for them to be. That could be a gap of salvation. They are over here somewhere in Roscoe or Rockton or Janesville, McChesney Park, Rockford, wherever. They might be on the other side of the world in Zambia or China. They might be somewhere in the United States through our internet. They might be somewhere in our broadcast region. And there's a gap between what God has paid for in salvation. They don't have to go to hell. Amen. The gospel has been provided, the payment has been made, and they have the opportunity to get their sins forgiven, get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and become a new creature. Every person has the right to hear that message. Amen. Jesus paid for it. There may be a gap of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus paid for them to be filled with the Spirit and to have the dynamite power of God, so that they don't just barely survive as a Christian, but they blow the enemy away in their lives. There may be a gap between where they are and in their own personal character development and freedom from addiction and freedom from sin bondages. They may be a Christian. They might even have heard of the Holy Spirit, but nobody has helped them close the gap. Jesus paid for them to be set freed from those addictions, from those sins, from their past, and to have a good hope and a good future. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. Absolutely. And so the gap that we're closing is the distance, not just physical distance, but the distance between where people currently are and what Jesus had paid for them to be, what God's already paid for. Open your Bibles now, if you would please, to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. I want to, again, prove to you that our God is a gap closer. He is an initiator. God doesn't sit in a passive position waiting for people to find him. God goes on the hunt. God goes looking. God is the original seeker, by the way. God is seeking to save that which is lost. He is looking to close the distance between where people are and where he has paid for them to be. God moves forward. God runs to the battle. God does not wait around and hope things get better. He makes it better. Amen. In John chapter 1, we'll look at verse 9. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible starts by saying, there was the true light, that is Jesus, which is coming into the world. Now, that's a gap phrase. That's a closing the gap phrase. The light came into the dark world. The light did not wait for the dark to find him. Amen. The light came into the dark world, and it enlightens every man, which is mission. Again, it's about every single person without missing even one. He was in the world. Notice, he wasn't sitting on his throne somewhere, just like us as a church. We don't sit in our little chairs in Roscoe. We get involved in the middle of the world. We get involved in the middle of crisis. We get involved in the middle of dark places. We close the gap. Amen. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Now, as we go and attempt to close the gap, we must realize that we are valuable to the world, though they may not recognize our value. Do you understand that there? That he came there and they didn't realize who he was. They didn't realize the value of who was there to change their life and to bring them into light. And also, not everyone received them. Not everyone will receive our efforts. Not everyone will receive our missionaries on the other side of the world. They will have a lot of doors closed in their face. Not everyone will watch our program on television. Not everyone will want to come to one of our outreaches. But we keep going. We keep closing the gap because people are too important to quit. Can I get an amen? We are aggressive in our passion to see people changed, and we will not be stopped because of a few closed doors. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become the children of God. Not everyone will receive our message, but those who receive the message of the gospel, their lives will be transformed forever. And we have to believe that. It's not about growing a church. It's not about an agenda to get a big group of people together. It's about them being transformed to become sons and daughters of God. Jesus didn't pay for them to attend church. Can I get an amen? He paid for them to become sons and daughters of the living God. To be free, to be whole, to be empowered, to be overcomers. Amen. And that's what we're doing. We're helping them become children of God. Even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, this is God's will that this is taking place in their lives. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's such a beautiful gap-closing phrase. All of the word that God is, all of the prophecy that he is, all of the theology, all of the doctrine that God is, he put skin on so that the people could understand and know and become acquainted with him. They could touch him. They could see him with their own eyes. God is such an initiator in closing the gap. He took all that he is and he put on flesh and came into the lost and dying and hurting world because it's his heart that people understand, that people have opportunity, that people get it. They get it. And it's not just doctrine and theology up there, which is why we have to move from our sermons and flesh this thing out in the neighborhoods that we live in. Amen. Dwelt among us, he's with the people, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we go to close the gap, we make sure we keep our wonderful boundaries that protect the message, a gospel of grace, but it's still the gospel of truth. We don't exchange one for the other. Amen. We make sure that as we're preaching that message, it is a grace message. Jesus paid for it. All are welcome. But at the same time, we don't water down the gospel and say, y'all just can live however you want and that it's all okay. The truth will still set them free. Jesus paid for your freedom out of that bondage, not to keep you in it. Can I get it? Amen. Grace isn't there to keep you in your sin and destruction. It's the power of God and the love of God to get you out of it. But we will preach it with grace and keep the truth. Amen. Powerful. But God is a gap closer. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, one more time for the illustration again in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And why do I take time to repaint the picture that God is an initiator to close the gap? Because we are the children of God, and the Bible tells us to imitate him like dear children. And so we don't want God just to be the one sitting there saying, hey, we want to close the gap. We must become that in our nature. That must be our personality, as all of our church campuses that we ever plant, all of the teenagers that we raise to be pastors, they must have this passion in them. It's not open a building and sinners come, but rather we plant our flag in a city and we go after the lost. Are you understanding? We go after those who, there's a gap between what God has paid for and where they're seeing the fruit in their life. And they might not even just be lost like as going to hell. They may be lost as living under the privilege that Jesus has paid for them to live in. Amen. And so we go into Luke chapter 15 to see Jesus illustrating the kingdom again. People were asking him questions about what the kingdom of God is like, and Jesus told them a parable. In verse 3, he said, "What is a man among you if he has 100 sheep and he's lost one of them? Does not leave the 99 in the open pasture, and he goes after," see, he's a gap closer, "he goes after the one which is lost until," underline that in your Bibles, "until he finds it." There is a passion in the heart of God that will not quit. He is committed to the cause. There may be a challenge. There may be opposition. There may be time that goes by to see that lost sheep found. But God, he is committed to the vision. I am not going to back down. I'm going to close the gap, whatever the cost, until I find you. I will close the gap. And that's the same spirit that we must have in the body of Christ. You know what? People are going to tell us no, but plenty of them are going to say yes. Amen. People may say they don't need Jesus right now, but we're going to keep seeking until we find. And they may not need him to, they do need him. They may not realize they need him today, but we will not be intimidated. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll come back next week, and we will believe, we will seek and close that gap until that gap is closed and that person is found. It's that kind of passion that we have because it's from the heart of God. Until he finds it. When he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep." He takes ownership of that lost sheep. These are our families, our friends. This is our country. Amen. This is our time and our world. This is not like Cain and Abel, where Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" We can answer that question. Yes, we are. Amen. This is my sheep that we found. This is my brother, my sister that was lost, that was separated, that was living underneath their godly privileges. I am helping them to close that gap and get what they have been, what God has purchased for them. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 persons who needed no repentance. Jesus goes on for a second illustration to make sure the point is received. And he says this in verse 8, he says, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully again until she finds it?" You have to be committed to closing the gap. This can't be something that we just talk about once in our lifetime and we never go back to it. It's something that we are committed in the DNA of this church to be gap closers until we find it. "When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Both in the sheep and in the coin, both speak of value. A sheep has value. The coin, obviously, has value. People are God's treasure. People matter to God. Amen. And that is why we do that. We don't go after people so that we just get brownie points with God and God loves us better. We don't go after people because of obligation or burden. The reason the heart of God in this moment was going after that sheep is because the shepherd knows the value of their sheep, and they're unwilling to live without that person. The woman knows the value of the coin, and so she's unwilling to let that coin, even one, go unfound. There is value in our neighbor. There is value in our friend. There is value in those in Janesville and McChesney Park and Rockford and all around the world. We go because we see the value. Amen. And we're unwilling to let the devil steal that treasure. Amen. It belongs to the body of Christ. It belongs to Jesus. It speaks of value. The other thing that's interesting to me is, though a sheep might wander somehow and find its way, even accidentally, back to the pasture, a coin cannot find itself. Amen. And so though some people might walk into church on occasion after having been away, there are those that do find themselves in church. There are some people who are extremely valuable, because every person is valuable. They will never find their way. They must be found by the church. They must be found by us. You can give God praise for that. Amen. And so that's the picture we paint. That's where Close the Gap comes from. God is a gap-closing God. And I thank God he did. He found me in Southern California, in a little town called Corona. Where did he find you? He came after you. Amen. He closed the gap, and he used someone to close it. So As a church, the question is, how are we closing the gap? We've been kind of pinpointing them, kind of highlighting them, but I want to be very clear about our strategy of closing the gap. I want you to be able to recite it. I want you to be able to say it, to be able to think it when you drive, to be able to think it when you come in, to know how we are fulfilling that mandate to close the gap. We choose to fulfill it in multiple ways, but four of them that I really want us to understand is, number one, our outreaches. We close the gap, and I want you to know to who. When we do outreach, you must think, who's on the other side of that outreach? Our neighbors are on the other side of that outreach. We are closing the gap between those neighbors that for some reason or another have not found their way into one of our campuses. They may be a believer. They may be attending or not attending a church. Many of them are not. Let's be honest. Many people say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. When do you go to church? Christmas and Easter and weddings and funerals. Amen. And they aren't actually receiving what God has paid for them to receive. And these are our very neighbors. And so when we do an outreach, it is not busy work. Can I get an amen? And it is not just expensive, because every price we pay is far less than the value of those that we pay it for. Can we say amen on that? But you must understand who's on the other side of that gap. This is us. These are the people we run into in the grocery store. These are our apartments right here across the street, our neighborhoods right around here in Rockford. It's the neighborhoods right surrounding us, the schools. It's our children. It's our junior highs and our elementary schools. And so I want us to see, when these people come and we say 5,500 people came to an outreach, that's our neighbors. And we didn't wait for them just to wander into pasture. Can I get an amen? We closed the gap, giving them a reason to meet us. And hopefully in meeting us, meet the Lord as they hear a message of grace and truth. Our outreaches, it could be outreach like a harvest fest. It could be the block parties that we do. It could be any number of ways that we try to reach out. But I want us to understand, outreaches aren't calendared events only. They are gap closing events. Even our women's conference and the conferences that we run, listen to me, they're not just conferences. They're outreaches to close the gap. That's why we're inviting people on the internet to come and through television, and we give you cards to say, invite your friends and family and neighbors. It's an opportunity not just for you to get fed, but for you to use that event to close the gap in somebody's life. As much as I want you to be blessed by every conference we do and to say, man, my life's been enriched, how many other lives could we have enriched with our life if we would have brought them with us to those outreaches? Are you understanding? They're not calendar fillers. They're gap-closing events. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. So outreaches, missions. When we say missions, we're closing the gap to other parts of the world. You know, I was thinking back to that missions video. Life Church, from its second service we ever ran, our second Sunday, we had a missionary on our platform that we said, we are going to be a missions-minded church. You know, I speak to a lot of pastors and even church planters nowadays, and one of the stories I'd love to tell them, because see, church planters, they only see themselves as the needy one in the beginning sometimes. And it's like, look, right away, church planter, you have to shift your attitude from being the one that needs everything to being one that is sowing and partnering with God to a greater kingdom work outside of yourself all around the world. Are you understanding? On our day two as Life Church, we had a mission. We could have used that offering, but we said, you know what? We're not going to be a self-minded church. We're going to be a part of the move of God globally as a church. World missions matters to us. We are in a connected world with the internet and with social media and with travel and all the ways. There is no excuse a church should isolate itself and not be a part of changing the world in the Middle East or in Asia or South America. We cannot write off parts of the world and say, that's their problem. They're far away. They need to fix themselves. We must close the gap and sow towards the change we want to see in the world we live in. Can I get an amen? The Bible tells us as believers, like Abraham, who was heir of the world, we are part of that same family. We've inherited the world like an inheritance. It's our responsibility. That's not just a power statement. We're heirs of the world. Look at our authority. We're heirs of the world. We must be good stewards, and we must use our influence in our generation as we close the gap to other parts of the world. So outreach is to our neighbors. That's how we close the gap to our neighbors. Missions is how we close the gap to the world. TV is how we close the gap to our region. It moves even bigger than the house next door. Our television program reaches about a 40-mile radius. And it's awesome to hear the testimonies of people who God starts their journey in church, whether it's here or even another church, through that TV program. So many people are watching. I did a funeral last year. And it was beautiful to hear all these wonderful people in this particular retirement center came up to me and said, "Pastor Kevin, I can't make it to your church. My children aren't able to drive me there. I don't drive. But I want you to know, I watch you every week, and you bless me, and the word comes alive, and I just want to meet you and tell you how much I'm grateful that you're speaking into our lives." I was walking out of that funeral, and a lady drove up next to me, and she said, "You're that pastor that teaches us about the Holy Spirit, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I am." I love that. Even this last week, we had an individual who needed to go to court for some different things, and they were saying where they went to church, and the judge said, "Wait a minute, Life Church? Isn't that church that's on TV with the pastor with those dark glasses?" Said, "Yeah, that's our church. I watch him every week," he says, "and he's a blessing. That the word is a blessing." You know what I said to them? I said, "That judge has good judgment. I just want to let you know. That's a good judge." But see, you don't realize where you're reaching into, how you're climbing those mountaintops and even influencing influencers. I remember one testimony with television in reaching our region. These are people that aren't necessarily going to come here yet, but the first tastes that they had, there was an individual who was sitting at a bar. In our program, we have one on Sunday morning, but we have a bunch of them that go on at night, 1 o'clock, 1:30 time period. And this person was at a bar, like 12:30, 1 o'clock at night. And they were, you know, doing whatever they do there at that time. And our program came on, and the bartender was about to change the program. At that moment, the person testified, said that someone spilled a drink or dropped a glass, which distracted the bartender for a second. At that moment, this person saw the program on. They had somehow visited in the years past the church, and they remembered my face and always my glasses. I can never wear contacts because these glasses are anointed. People remember the glasses. And they remembered that it was a word that touched them way back when. But here they are years later sitting in a bar, and here we are back in front of them. And in that moment of transition, they said, "Wait a minute, please don't turn it. I've heard this person before, and I enjoy what they have to say." And that entire bar had church in the middle of the night and saw the gospel preached to them. Amen. That's closing the gap. That's closing the gap. Amen. It's working. And then finally, our leadership college. I want you to see, closing the gap to the world, closing the gap to our neighbors, closing the gap to our region. And now I want you to see the students in the leadership college. That's a 4-year degree program. And just to clarify the difference between that and Life School of the Bible, Life School of the Bible is our adult discipleship program that is a 2-year program that everyone can be a part of. This in particular program are college-age students that have had the call of God on their life where they say, "The Lord has called me to be the next generation of youth pastor, children's pastor, church planter, lead pastor, worship leader. God has called me to give my life to go build the church of tomorrow." So these individuals are getting a 4-year degree, and they're not only getting the teaching and the degree, but in this house, they're getting the heart and the spirit and the operations of the gifts of the spirit and the practice of those things. This in particular program, when I say, what's the gap that we're closing? Because I want you to see it. It's not about housing students. It's not about having a college so that we say, we have a college. It's always about the vision. It's always about closing the gap. So what's the gap? The gap there is the gap to the future of the church. Because there is a future for the church. Amen. Amen. You know, I was reading in Judges a couple weeks ago, Judges chapter 6 and 3, and I was just really moved by how many times God had a mighty move, but it never carried on to the next generation. And I felt the Lord just kind of talk to me in that moment, because I was frustrated. I was like, "God, how come the move of God can never go from one generation to the next?" And almost as quick as I thought it, it was like, because those generations always focus on conquering their own giants or taking their own promises and promised lands, and they never take the time to prepare the next generation to do the same thing. And sometimes the church can be the same way. We're trying to do what we want to do in our world. We want our revival. We want our breakthrough in our finances. We're trying to get our healing over cancer. We're trying to defeat our giant. We're trying to possess our promised land. And we have no intentionality about training the next generation to watch it and to get involved in it, be a part of the process so they can duplicate it in the next generation. That college will do it. Amen. 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 But we are at a critical mass moment with the school. Because as much as we want to celebrate that God's putting more and more students in it, God's blessing it, praise God for that, if we can't house them, we cannot accept them. As a parent, you will not send your students somewhere where they'll say, well, we'll figure it out when they get there. You wouldn't send your kid there, would you? No, hopefully not. If you would, we have a parenting class we need you to go to. We must have planned, quality, excellent housing. I don't want those students sleeping with cockroaches. I don't want them, you know, being malnourished. I don't want them worried about their life or their safety, just like you wouldn't want your student in that environment either. We have an awesome opportunity in Rockford. We've been approved to house currently about 24, but we can actually get up to about 40 if we can do both sides. So this current vision we're talking about will finish the first side, but if we blow this vision away out of the water, we might be able to do both sides and be able to house 40 instead of just 24. Amen. But we need to be honest. Opportunity is staring us right in the face, but there is a cost to make sure that we can receive the opportunity, the blessing that God is putting in us. You know, there's a story, and I'm getting off my notes, so I'm going to go a little longer and just deal with it, because this is where we're going as a church. There's a story where God had oil in a widow's life, and when she ran out of room, the oil stopped flowing. But as long as she continued to make room, God continued to pour out the oil. You understand? And so it's not even the dorms. I see, look, guys, this is the future of the Spirit-filled church. I don't just want to raise dozens of future leaders. Let's raise thousands of them. Amen. But that's going to take space. That's going to take more than 40 dorm rooms or 40 dorm beds. That may take apartment buildings. That may take you donating some houses. Maybe you have a couple houses sitting around that you want to donate. Hallelujah. We'll fill them. You may have property you want to donate. You may have things that you say, it's all up to us. God's blessing it. We just need to make room for that. And as much as we can say, man, I'm nervous about the future of the church, if we can prepare the leadership, the future of the church has hope, because we're sowing to close the gap to the future of the Spirit-filled church. Amen. Do you see it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Real quick follow-up from August. In August, we talked to you about wanting to purchase a campus between the North Roscoe campus and South Rockford campus, over on the east side of Rockford. We did find some buildings that we were interested in, and we did pursue them for purchase. Fortunately, we could not decide on a price that we felt was the right price, and so we stepped back and we said, Lord, we told you Close the Gap was never about buildings anyways, it was about people. And so we said, Lord, what's the vision? Because we believe you've called us to close the gap to that side of town. There are so many hundreds and hundreds of homes that are watching the program that for any number of reasons are not making the drive either to the Rockford South Campus or to Roscoe. But we will not wait for them to come to us. We want to go to them. And so though a door might have been shut, we're going through a window. God, there's a wisdom to get to that side of town. And here's how we're going to be solving that in this next phase of vision I want to tell you about. We're going to start having what are called Come to Life Weekends. Come to Life Weekends are where you, in any campus, you could be in Roscoe, you could be in Rockford, we're going to host some tremendous services with worship and evangelistic speaking, things that you can invite people to, special things going on, that you will be extremely motivated to bring your neighbors from Beloit and Janesville and Roscoe and Rockton. And so all of our campuses, May 1st weekend will be our first opportunity to a Come to Life weekend. We want them to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. We're giving you an opportunity to invite them. You'll hear more about the Come to Life weekend in Roscoe in a few weeks. But what we're going to do while we're doing a Come to Life weekend here that you can bring your neighbors and friends to, we are going to rent out a conference facility on that side of town that we want to close the gap to. We're going to rent out Giovanni's restaurant, and we're going to bring who we are to them. So we're going to maintain quality ministry here, but we're going to bring our worship. I'm going to be there speaking. We're going to have our altar ministry teams. We're going to have kids ministry going on. We're not going to wait for them to come to us. We're going to go to where they are, and we're going to put it in television. We're going to put it in radio. We're going to put it in magazines. We're going to put it on social media. We're going to give cards and flyers to you to invite people and sow that seed in that area. And we're going to believe God for hundreds of people that have been in our orbit of influence to come out to that Giovanni's Come Close the Gap weekend, and they're going to try us, and they're going to like it, because to know us is to love us, I'm telling you. We're going to go to that side of town. We're going to have a service, and we're going to see what happens. And then we're going to do it again in the fall and try to build traction. And once we start seeing a congregation develop, then we're going to purchase a building on that side of town, or lease a building, or whatever the solution might be. But rather than buying a building and saying they will come, we're going to create the congregation, and then we're going to fill the building with that in real congregation. So what I'm looking for you is those of you who might live on that side of town, that East State Street kind of corridor, that want to be a part of our launch team. We're going to need ushers and greeters and altar workers and hospitality and children's help. We're going to need that. And there's a table in our lobby that you can sign up for with a big TV. It says Come to Life Weekend. Give us your name that you're interested in, and we're going to start having launch team meetings, and we're going to make that a powerful outreach. And I'm encouraging you that this campus and Rockford South will have extremely powerful outreaches that day as well. We might even double the church in one weekend, everybody, if we do this thing together and we do it right. And what I want to do with that model, yeah, you can celebrate that. What I want to do with that model is, if that works the way I think it's going to work, we're going to take that on the road again, and we'll do the same thing in Janesville. And we'll start seeding that area in Janesville. Not just saying, I think we can have a church there. Let's start having a church there on occasion and let it turn into a really dynamic expression of Life Church. Close the gap that way. We'll do the same thing on the west side of Rockford. Start sowing some seed of real physical ministry on the ground, raising up people on that side of town, and then we'll be able to move forward. This is our strategy, because there's real strategy on how we're going to close the gap. Our goal is $250,000, which is the cards that you had placed in front of you. That goal is above and beyond our tithe and offering. The tithe and offering is how we do what we're already doing. This pledge card and the goal of $250,000 is the vision that's going beyond what we're already doing. That's why you can't exchange your tithe for a pledge, because we have to keep doing what we're doing. This is the stretch as it goes to, let's do all these things to the extent that's in our heart to do them. These pledges are how we're going to get there. I believe the strategy that God's given us is amazing, and the opportunity He's given us is amazing. In closing the gap, we will close it through loving, reaching, and equipping. That's who we are as a church. You are a loving body. You are a loving church. And our opportunity to reach them is endless. As we can create it, we can reach. I'm telling you, it's like the nets are, if we can just get the nets in the water, the fish, they are there. Our love and our reaching is easy. That's who we are. And a lot of churches love and reach, but something that makes us unique as Life Church, I believe, is the equipping side. Is the fact that we don't just bring people into church and have them pray a prayer, but we're passionate about training them. That's unique, and why we need to get where they are, or we need to get them to where we are strategically. Because I believe if you can get someone in our culture of training and developing, we will equip them through the Word, the Spirit, and through relationships. I believe everyone that comes and connects to Life Church, they can be equipped to become everything Jesus paid for them to become. Do you see how it all comes together? Through loving reaching, we will equip them. We will not say we're finished just because they prayed a prayer. We will bring them into a process of development so their marriage gets better, their hearts and attitudes and character gets better, their ability to reach beyond themselves gets better. They become the full image of what Christ paid for them to become. And we have so many opportunities and classes and training courses and mentorships. We are serious about equipping people. Ushers, if you'll come forward, we're going to begin to close this thing out and give you time to fill out those pledge cards. They have some extra cards in case you didn't get one, but right now, if you'll take those pledge cards that were at your seat, or maybe you brought some, I want to tell you a story just to make sure you understand the whole vision of what we're talking about. Because sometimes I think people think it's all about an offering. If you're thinking it's about an offering, you're missing the vision. Here's a story of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. St. Paul's Cathedral was designed by the great British architect and designer Sir Christopher Wren. One day after work on his cathedral had begun, Wren, unrecognized by the workforce, walked among the artisans and stonecutters. He asked the workmen, "What are you doing?" The first workman said, "I am cutting a piece of stone," the workman replied. He asked the same question of the second stonecutter. The second stonecutter said, "I'm earning 5 shillings and 2 pence a day." He asked the third workman the same question, and the man answered, "I am helping Sir Christopher Wren build a magnificent cathedral to the glory of God." Can you see the difference in how people saw what they were doing? Some people saw it just right in front of them. "I'm cutting a stone." Someone said, "Oh, I'm just earning some money." But someone else saw the bigger picture and said, "I'm a part of something bigger than me, to the glory of God." And so that's my hope today. What am I asking of you today? Is it to give money? No, it's not give money. That's not what we're saying. Is it to build buildings and create more busy activity? No. What I'm asking you today is to help us close the gaps for the glory of God. Yes. That you see that pledge and you see what we're doing and getting involved with opportunities to serve. It's not, I'm just fulfilling an obligation or I'm doing a religious duty. I'm closing the gap. When you wrote your name on this card and you're ready to sow it or put it down in the offering, you're saying, "I am closing the gap to world missions. I am closing the gap through television. I am closing the gap to the future of the Spirit-filled church. I'm closing the gap to my neighbors. My name is Kevin Kringle, and I am closing gaps."